The text for today is the Gospel reading from St. Luke chapter 19. While they were listening to this, Jesus went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minutes. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied, 'because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." Here ends our text. Well, here it is, the second to last Sunday of the church year. Themes of second coming, judgment, heaven, and hell hang in the air. And what's our text about? Could it really be about stewardship? Jesus tells a parable about a nobleman leaving to get a kingdom, promising to return, who is hated and rejected by the people he's supposed to rule. Now, who else can this be but Jesus? Surely the one begotten from the Father from all eternity is noble. And John tells us that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And didn't the crowd on Good Friday scream, "Take him away, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar"? Finally, Jesus ascended into heaven to be crowned king of heaven and earth, and promised to return. The man of noble birth certainly fits Jesus. And what does this noble man do before leaving? He leaves his 10 slaves, not servants. He leaves 10 slaves, each a mina, with the instruction, "Put this money to work until I come back." I can feel a money sermon coming on right now. Are you diversified enough? No, not till you have your money proportioned correctly between stocks, bonds, and CDs, but between heaven and earth, the things of God and the things of men. As they say, that sermon will preach. Well, in the parable, we have the Jesus figure. We have those who reject him, and we have those who are his slaves being entrusted with his riches to use on his behalf before he returns. And you have the final judgment. Both those outside the church and those inside the church are judged. Hypocrites are exposed, and the faithful are grandly rewarded. Of course, this text is about stewardship. But the question is, stewardship of what? This text isn't about the stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. That's a different parable. That's a parable of the talents in Matthew 25. That's where a man leaves 3 slaves, not 10, differing amounts. 1 5 talents, 1 3, and the last 1. Our English word for talent, meaning ability, it comes from that parable. And isn't the truth that talents differ greatly between people? Some are good in school. Some are good in sports. Some in business. Some are good with their hands. Others are good with their head. Some have a talent for people. Others have a talent for cooking. Also, a talent was a large sum of money in Jesus' day. It was worth more than $1,000. Today, it would be worth $660,000. And doesn't that ring true to life? The talents of individuals are highly regarded. Whole TV shows are dedicated to people who have even silly, strange, or downright stupid talents. You could preach that Matthew 25 parable, applying it to time, talent, and treasures, but not this one in Luke. Here, all the slaves are left exactly the same amount. Our little group here doesn't have exactly the same amount of time, talent, or treasure. There is a dizzying array of these things, even among us. Furthermore, in this parable, the slaves are left small amounts. 1 mina was worth about 3 months' wages, 1/60th of a talent. Today it'd be about $6,400. Finally, in the parable about talents, faithfully using them is rewarded by a vague many things. Here, faithful use of 1 mina is rewarded incredibly. For each additional mina made, the slave is given an entire city. So, what do we all have the exact same amount of that is considered small in the world's eyes but rewarded far beyond our wildest dreams? What but the means of grace? Our Lord, when he ascended into heaven, left to his church, to us Christians, baptism, absolution, and Holy Communion. Not one of us has more, not one of us has less than these things. But these things are pitifully insignificant in the eyes of the world. Baptism is just simple water only. Absolution, just words. The Bible these words come from, just stories. And communion? Communion is nothing but bread and wine, and not very good bread and wine at that. The only treasure the world thinks we Christians have is the gold and silver of our sacramental vessels, our buildings, and our property. What is in our sacramental vessels, what goes on in our buildings and on our property, well, that is worthless to the world. But you see how incredibly it is rewarded? The faithful use of word and sacrament is rewarded with forgiveness, life, and salvation. Doing business with baptism, absolution, and Holy Communion delivers one from sin, death, and from the power of the devil. No matter how well you use time, talent, or treasure, you don't get forgiveness, life, or salvation. No matter how generous you are with your time, talent, and treasure, that doesn't result in being delivered from sin, death, or the devil. Oh, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't reward these. No, the Lord rewards all the works that he does in us. But the reward of using the means of grace is more grace than you can get your head, heart, or hands around. It's whole cities full of grace. This text is about stewardship. Our stewardship of the means of grace, and the means of grace are nothing less than Jesus. What came out of the side of Jesus on the cross when the soldier speared him? Water and blood. There in that baptismal font is where the water from Jesus' side is today. There on that altar is where the blood that flowed from his riven side is today. Where is the forgiveness Jesus won for the whole world, for every sinner under the sun found today? Right where Jesus put those words, in the mouths of his people. Absolution is the voice of Jesus speaking on earth today. The gospel is the voice of Jesus proclaiming forgiveness wherever his people speak it. Stewardship of the means of grace is stewardship of the suffering, bleeding, dying Savior. Profanity is not vulgarity, but treating something holy as plain and ordinary. Esau, says Scripture, profaned his birthright. How? By selling it for a bowl of lentils. Baptism is the very water of life. We profane it when we regard it as an outward washing or as insufficient to cleanse us completely from our sins. Absolution is a living word of God spoken in time. We profane it when we think of it as a pastor's wish or opinion, not actually here and now sending our sins away from us. Communion is the same body of Christ the Romans nailed to the cross. Communion is the same blood of Christ that was pressed out of him in Gethsemane. When Martin Luther was an old man, he spilled the blood of Christ while distributing communion. He got down on his hands and knees and licked it up. We profane the body and blood of Christ no less than the Romans did, who beat and crucified him, when we regard this as just plain bread and wine, giving less thought and regard to it than we do a fancy meal. Come back. Come back. You're about to get derailed in a hurry at this point. The sacraments and words of our Lord are to be revered as holy, precious, and sacred. And that is part of their stewardship, but it's not the main part. The highest use of the means of grace is faith, believing that just for you, Jesus made baptism a life-giving water rich in grace. Believing that your sins were sent away this morning by the absolution that I spoke. Believing that the body and blood of Jesus on this altar was given and shed for you personally. Let's jump back in the parable. The first two slaves used the means of grace while waiting for their Lord to return. They saw their sins washed away by baptismal water. They heard their sins lifted off of them by absolution. They fed on the body and blood of their Lord, rejoicing in their forgiveness, physical life, and eternal salvation that was in them. But there's a third slave. But he's not called the third slave. Jesus speaks of the first one, and he speaks of the second, but he doesn't speak of the third. No, it's another slave. Our word heterodox is related to these Greek words for another. Heterodox means to hold other doctrines, other teachings, other beliefs than orthodox ones. That is, correct ones, straightforward ones. In the parable, the heterodox slave simply buries the mina. He doesn't use it for himself. He doesn't use it at all. He doesn't daily return to his baptism to die and rise with Jesus. He doesn't believe the pastor's absolution does a thing. And he doesn't care to eat and drink the body and blood of his Savior either. Why not? Well, he claims he doesn't use the means of grace out of fear. I was afraid of you. Now you'd think that Jesus would have shown mercy at this point. He'd say, oh, you poor fellow. It really was out of pious fear that you didn't use baptism, absolution, or the Lord's Supper. But what does Jesus do? He explodes on him. Jesus calls him a wicked slave and says he didn't fear him at all. The introit explains. The introit says, with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Getting no forgiveness in the means of grace, the wicked slave could have no fear either, no matter what he said. He had hated, he had contempt, and he had rebellion for his Lord. So, fellow slaves of the noble Lord Jesus, are you using the mina your Lord left you? Note that the use of the mina produces more minas. Using the means of grace, being reborn daily in your baptism, having all your sins separated from you by the absolution, and eating and drinking the body and blood of your God, that leads to more forgiveness, more life, more salvation. Faithful use of the means of grace leads to more victory. More victory over sin, more victory over death, more victory over the power of the devil. When we do not take shelter in our baptism, when we do not regard the absolution on God's last word on our sins, when we don't regard Holy Communion as the body and blood of Jesus here for us and our salvation, well, then we can only view our Lord as a hard man who expects too much from us. And when we see our Lord that way, we see our fellow man, our spouse, our boss, our neighbor, our parents, our kids that way. They are takers from us. They expect too much from us. They aren't for us at all. It's different. It's different when we see God viewing us as righteous, innocent, and blessed in the means of grace. It's different when we see that for Jesus' sake, God does not even see one of our sins. It's different when we see that the Lord who left us with the means of grace only wants to give us more. It's different, not because God is different, but because we are. Having His forgiveness, having His life, having His salvation, we become stewards of them. And how can that not be well done? Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.